Okay, let's pray and get into the Word of God. Acts chapter 9. Lord, we love you. We pray that you meet everybody's needs in here, Father. But most of all, that there's a deeper connection with you, Lord, that we grow in your grace and in your forgiveness and in your mercy. And day by day, as Paul said, though the outward man perish, the inward man is growing stronger day by day. Lord, let that be our cry today, that we grow more in you, that we leave today better than we came in. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 9, Vicky took the car. The girls came over on Friday night, and Vicky doesn't ever drive. So when you're married, who does the driving normally? Just curious. Is it the fellas? Do you guys drive? Who drives? It's the man mostly, right? And good. So I think it's good because, you know, and then your wife's always telling you how to drive, but while you're driving. And so Vicky never drives. So she's like, the kids come over. She takes Samantha and Punk to McDonald's and the Dollar Tree and all this stuff. And they come back like an hour and a half later. And they're all sitting there and they're really quiet. And Vicky comes out of nowhere and she just says, I'm coming clean. I'm telling them. And I'm like, what? So I'm looking at Samantha, and Samantha's got this weird grin on her face, like her mom's about ready to get busted. You know, Cicely's being quiet, sitting over there. And she's like, I'm just going to tell him. Tell me what? And she goes, well, when I was driving, I hit a curb. So you might not think that sounds like a big deal, right? Oh, it's just a little hitting of a curb, but I know better. Like, it's not that she just hit a curb. I know in my heart there's got to be damage. This thing's going to be expensive, and it's not just hitting a curb. And so I asked her, I said, where did this happen? Because if I can figure out where it happened, I can tell how bad it was. And she goes, well, I was just going into McDonald's. And if you guys have ever gone into McDonald's fast, have you ever done it? You've probably done it once. What happens? Well, boom, you go straight down, smack, and like you can't, it's like Dukes of Hazzards out of there. How many times have you seen people pull into McDonald's and it's just straight down, bam, and then straight up? And so I knew as soon as she says I was pulling into McDonald's, I'm like, great, is the bumper on? I was asking her, do we still got a front bumper and we're gonna have to get alignment? And she's like, no. And then this is what she said. This is what I thought was funny. She's like, I'm never telling you nothing again. And I thought, no, you can be, because I was trying to be cool, but at the same time, I'm like, man, we just bought this car, and now, you know, it's in a bunch of pieces. But it turns out, I was driving the other day, actually, and the alignment's never been as good. That thing was, I think she might have knocked it in place. I don't know. But when she told me that story, and I was studying, and we were studying last week, actually, when we were looking at Paul's life, how he was going fast in the wrong direction, and he hit a point to where he bottomed out, and boom, he hit hard. And you know, there's a place in our life, and it seems like Jesus gets us into those places where we go into a, I don't know, whether a weird season in our life, or we're going in the wrong direction. And sometimes we think everything's fine. And then all of a sudden, before we come up out of it, we got it, for whatever reason, we got to hit like rock bottom. Has that ever happened to you guys? Like where you just got to hit rock bottom, boom. And then it's like this shock, wham, I'm going in the wrong direction. This isn't God's will for my life. It's like a shock. And when Paul was persecuting Christians and he was going after them, he ended up going fast in the wrong direction. And he's going down and he hits this transition. Boom! And Jesus steps in, knocks him off of the horse, face down on the ground. Do you remember the story on how Paul got converted, how he became a Christian? And he asked Paul, what are you doing? Why are you persecuting me? And it was interesting because Paul's like, who are you? Because I'm going after a bunch of Christians. And Jesus is like, exactly. You're going after them, but in reality, what you're doing against them is you're coming against me, which says to me that whenever somebody comes against us, they're messing with the wrong God because they're actually going against Jesus. But it goes even further because we can go against each other as Christians, right? We can say things about each other. We can come against each other. And we can attack each other. And we got to be careful because we got to remember that with Jesus, when we're coming against each other, gossiping, complaining, whatever, it's actually an attack against the Lord. And so now, after Paul is face down, Jesus gets a hold of him and he says, instead of you destroying the church, what's going to happen now is you're going to start building it. And this is going to be an interesting season in Paul's life because now everything he believed and everything he thought and everything he knew and the actions that he had, everything's going to get flipped upside down. And it starts by God sending this man, Ananias, in verses 8, if you guys are in Acts chapter 9, to Paul. While Paul's blind, there was such a bright light. You guys remember the story that it somehow scarred Paul's eyes. We might think of cataracts or something, but it took 3 days for these scabs to fall off of Paul's eyes to where he could actually see again. So this was an experience he had both spiritually, physically, mentally, no doubt. And now as Paul's there, in blindness, scales on his face, the persecutor, the hater of the church, God goes to this man named Ananias and he says, I want you to go to Saul and I want you to pray with them and I want you to lay your hands on him so that he'd be healed. And so in verse 8, it picks up, then Saul arose from the ground and when his eyes were open and he saw no one, but they led him by the hand and they brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight and neither ate or drank. Nor now there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire of the house of Judas, the one of one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he's praying, and in a vision he's seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him so that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much he's harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he is with authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him many things that he must suffer for my name's sake. So you guys can imagine Ananias's reluctancy. Ananias is like, man, we've heard about this guy. He's been coming against Christians, killing him, jailing him, and beating him. And now you want me to go to this guy and pray with them, share the word with them, encourage them. And, you know, it would be easy if we were in Ananias' position to argue with the Lord about it, because I think in some sense, if you think about it, you guys, it would almost be like if there was a conversion in Hitler, and it's the time of the war, and Hitler gets saved, and he tells the Jews, he goes, hey, I want you to go to Hitler because he just got saved, and I want you to pray for him. And the Jews are going to be like, are you out of your mind? This is crazy. This is the nuttiest thing you could ever ask me to do. And that's exactly what's happening with Ananias. He's like, man, this is insanity that you'd have me go to this guy and pray for him. And it shows us this, though, too. If you can ever think of somebody in your life, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, I think, where you would never think in a million years that they would get saved, that they would come to Christ. Do you know anybody like that? They're like totally anti-Christ, anti-God, everything. And that person, we think, man, there's no way they would ever come to Jesus. There's no way they would ever listen to the gospel. There's no way that they would surrender to the Lord. Sometimes, and what we see with Paul, those are the people that are the closest to receiving the message of the gospel. the ones that we stray away from and we like dodge at Walmart and we don't want to see them and we don't want to talk to them. We definitely don't want to bring up Jesus to them. Those are the people that God wants us to go to specifically. And you know what? It's interesting too, because the way it worked with Ananias is that God laid it on his heart to go and talk to Paul. And that's how God does it sometimes. Sometimes he lays somebody on our heart. Sometimes he puts people in front of us. Sometimes, you know, we just got to step out and see what happens. I remember like 30 years ago when we had magazines at the store. Do you remember the magazine racks that always be out in the front? And, you know, I had a fascination with going to the magazines. I always looked at like the weightlifting magazines, the car magazines, surfing magazines, whatever. And they'd have those like Rolling Stone magazines. And on the cover, they would have somebody every month, somebody new. Remember when we had magazines? They need to bring it back. It was a lot, I don't know, it's all gone now, it's all digital. But on the cover of Rolling Stones, and this was the first time I ever saw Marilyn Manson. How many of you guys know Marilyn Manson? Raise your hand. And if you don't, you're not missing nothing. But this guy is as crazy as a wet cat. I mean, he's wound up. And he is like on the cover of Rolling Stones. And I kid you not, I never saw him before. And I looked at that guy and he scared me on a magazine. And I was like, good Lord. And I tried to look, it was like an accident. Like I'm trying to look away and I'm looking at this guy. One blue eye, one black eye. He's painted death white, black lipstick. Said he did a bunch of weird stuff with his ribs and all that. I don't know, this guy's nuts. And I remember the Lord, it was like the Lord was impressing upon me. He goes, Jason, pray for him. And I'm thinking, what good will it do? This is Marilyn Manson, right? And I'm arguing with God. It doesn't matter, you know, but I'll pray for him. And you know what's the funny thing is that was like 25, 30 years ago. And do you guys know I still pray for Marilyn Manson today? Isn't that weird? I still pray for him. I don't let go of that boy. And I'm praying that he'll come to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, when we're witnessing to people and we're going to people and we're talking about Jesus, sometimes you can create opportunities to talk to somebody, or sometimes opportunities will create themselves. But either way, God wants us to go to these people. And sometimes I know it's not easy. You know, Vicky and I, we go, we see this one person every single day because we're creatures of habit. And I started developing a friendship with this guy at this one particular store. And, you know, we've been talking for about a month now. He's into football. I don't care about football, but I'm trying to make a connection, so I'm acting like I do. And, you know, now it's kind of progressed to more personal stuff. And last week or so, we were there, and he looks at me, he goes, man, I just stinking hate my job. I hate my manager. And everything's a problem. Everything's a problem. You know, he's helping his coworkers, but then he's getting trouble from the management for doing it because he's the nice guy. And I just, I got to get a new job. I can't stand this place. And I'm just trying to talk with him, right? And Vicky comes straight up in the middle of the conversation. She goes, invite him to church. And she goes, why don't you come to church? And I'm like, right? Just out of nowhere. Like, she's like this puppet. Why don't you come to church? Right? Just out of nowhere. And I'm like, whoa, I didn't say this, but I'm like, I'm trying to work up to it, babe. You know, it's been a month. I'm trying to make a connection. But Vicky is so like in your face. Just ask already. Just tell him to come to church. And so she goes, why don't you just come to church? And he goes, hey, yeah, you know what? I might do that. And, you know, he's never came, but the point of it is that when we're talking about like engaging with people and inviting them and connecting with them, you know, God's got you in a certain neighborhood. There's people there around you. Might be family, might be neighbors. And God's got you at work, and there's people at work around you. And maybe you've got some authority. And what I've seen is that wherever we're at, God's got us there on purpose for a reason to connect with them. And we want to reach out like Ananias and just say, hey, okay, if the Lord said to go, I'm going to go. And you're like, but Jason, what, you know, what happens if I go? You know, what's the worst can happen? You know, what if I get killed? You know, what if I don't know, maybe. Like, maybe they'll take you in the bathroom at Fred Meyer and shake you. Maybe. I mean, is it really a possibility? Like, what's the worst that will happen when we say, hey, I just want to pray with you? Or I just want to invite you to church. What's going to happen? Are they going to kill you? I think the possibilities are low. But they probably are. They might argue with you. They might, you know, they might not listen to you. They might not want to hear what you got to say. But let me ask you this question. What if they do? What if they do believe? What if that person God says, I want you to plug into, actually listens and takes it in, and then there's a transformation? How crazy would that be for you to go just to your neighbors, have dinner with them, invite them over, maybe do a Bible study or something just out of this world, and they end up surrendering their life to Christ and they're never the same again? And that's the goal, you guys. We don't want to be hearers of the word only. We want to be doers. Ananias, and he's reluctant. I get it. You know, it's a rough situation. Paul's a hard guy to deal with. But he steps out anyways, and he takes the chance, and he does it. And so it says now in verse 23, so now Ananias is, he's full of faith. He's listening to the Lord. He goes to Paul, who was a killer of Christians, and now he's a Christian himself. And now the one group of people that used to hang out with Paul, love Paul, support Paul, pray for Paul, now hate Paul. And there's a flip of this switch. It's kind of interesting how this works out with him and how it works out with us, because I know what happens to Paul has happened to some of you, and it's happened to me. And in verse 23, it says, now after many days were passed, that the Jews plotted to kill him. Now that's his people. That's the people that he hung out with, that he loved. They loved him, and they did card nights, and they had fellowship, and they went to dinner, and they did stuff. And now it says, but their plot to kill Paul, verse 24, became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. And the disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket. Now, just really quick, I got to tell you something about when it said, after many days. When you look at that, you think, oh, it's probably been, you know, 7 days or something. Maybe it's been a couple weeks since all of these things have gone down. But the reality of it is, in just that one little verse that you got your finger on, it's been 3 years. And you're like, Jason, how do you know that? Well, because when we study the word and we go into Galatians chapter 1, Paul talks about a season in his life where he had to get away from everybody and everything and be isolated and alone and only with God for 3 years in Arabia. And you know where Arabia is? This is kind of a trip. It's the same place Moses was at Mount Sinai when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And it's the same mountain that Moses communed with God to hear from God. What am I to do? Where am I to go? How am I going to get there? And Paul goes to the same place, and he's there for 3 years. And the reason why that's so important to us is because we despise being alone. We despise, encourage you in that though. Don't despise it. Don't despise those times, you guys. And you know what? You might be a mess when you're going through it. And I understand that better than anybody. I know what it's like to be a Christian and be a mess. That's the time you press in. And that's the time you get alone with the Lord. Let him rewire your thinking. After many days, Paul's gone. But he comes back, and the people that he loved wanted to kill him. And I kind of think it's funny in a way, because you really learn who your friends are. and your enemies. And one of the ways that we know who our friends are and our enemies is just start talking about Jesus and seeing how it goes. And then you're going to see a quick separation fast, right? And so Paul was in a place to where those that he used to love hates him now, and those that used to fear him love him now. And there's a whole new family for the Apostle Saul. And it goes the same with us. You know, when we give our lives to the Lord, you guys, we connect as a family and friends. And it's different than regular family. It's different than regular friends. And so now Paul has a whole new family. He's got it all that's going on with them. And so now it says in verse 24, after many days, the Jews plotted to kill Saul. You know, we can kind of understand why. It's like if you could picture Tom Cruise leaving, what's that thing he's into? Yeah, so Scientology. So it's kind of like, you know, if Tom Cruise left Scientology and he'd get on Fox and he's like, man, they're a bunch of wackos. Guess who's coming after Tom Cruise? It's probably the end of his career. John Travolta is going to be calling him up all mad. And there's a change. And so now that Paul's like preaching for Jesus instead of against him, they're like, man, we got to shut this guy up. But you guys got to remember, he's been with the Lord. And so it says, when Paul, he goes back to Jerusalem, and what kind of welcome do you think he's going to get? Don't look down. Don't look down at the next verse in 26. But when Paul goes back to Jerusalem, the place where he had Stephen killed, he's a Christian now. The apostles are there. The disciples are there. What kind of welcome do you think Paul's going to get when he gets there? Do you think they're going to be like, hey, praise God, I'm so glad that you showed up and we've been praying for you? No, the reality of it is when Paul gets back there, they don't even believe he's a disciple and they don't want nothing to do with them. I feel so bad. It's like he's Pigpen and Snoopy, where that guy's walking around, he's got that cloud around him and nobody wants to be around him. Is it Pigpen? The kid that's got all the smoke around him when he's walking around with the blanket? That's Paul. He's Pigpen. They don't want it. He stinks to them. And he's like, hey guys, it's me. I just want to hang out and, you know, worship the Lord. And like, forget you. You want to kill us. We know your games. And so when Paul goes back, they don't even receive him as a disciple. It says in verse 26, it says, and when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him, and they did not believe he was a disciple. And, you know, just really quick, you guys, sometimes that's the same thing with us. You know, when we know somebody and we know their history and they give their life to the Lord, or we know them around town, and then we see them in church and they come into church or whatever, you know, we know they've been rough around the edges. And the first thing we hear is taking a celebrity. The first thing we hear when we was like, oh, so-and-so accepted Jesus Christ. Vicky and I, when we had the kids over, we were watching a thing on Instagram of Jim Carrey, the comedian. You guys know Jim Carrey, right? And the guy, no doubt, if you know him, you know he's gone nuts, right? He's out there. He's like, I don't know what he was into. Something where there is no reality. It's just the guy's living a dream. And reporters hated, you know, interviewing him because the guy, hey, Jim, how do you feel? And he's like, I'm on Mars. And he was the worst person to interview. Nobody wants to talk to this guy because whatever comes out is nuts. But Vicky and I were watching a video that just came out. And he was proclaiming the grace of God through the cross that Jesus laid his life on. And when I was watching that video, my first thought was, this isn't real. And I'm looking at his eyes. See, you know, when you talk to somebody, look them in the face, because, you know, they say one thing. You can, you know, you look at people and you're like, man, this something's not right here. And I'm looking in his eyes and I'm thinking, he is a good actor. But this was no acting. But my first thought was, this guy is like rough and going crazy, and I don't believe it. I've had people come into church There was one guy years ago, and he was a homeless guy. Come in here, and we knew him out on the street and stuff. He finally comes to church, and the first day he leaves, he goes, Pastor Jason, that was the best blanking bleep, bleep, bleep sermon I've ever heard. That really got me in the bleep, 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 bleep. And he's saying this at the front door. And I'm like, you know, my first thought is like, dang, bro, don't you know where you're at? This is like, this is church, man. I could have done that. I could have done that. But I thought, you know what? This guy's rough. He's just coming to the Lord. And, you know, when we come to Jesus, he changes our language. You know, because a lot of us, we got our own language before we come to the Lord. And he changes that. And he changes a lot of those attitudes and thoughts that we have where we're rough. And I just want to encourage you, you know, when people come into the church and maybe they're wearing something crazy, maybe they're dropping the F word, you know, I'm not going to give somebody the mic that talks like that. Although, if you ever want to see something funny, go on YouTube and look at pastors who have. And they're like, yeah, who's come out of sin and wants to give a testimony? And they come up and they're like, Pastor, I haven't been with 5 men this week. And I just thanking Jesus and talking about all this weird stuff and bleep, bleep, bleep. And he's like, okay, well, praise God, sister, right? And they don't know what to do because they grab the mic and they just start downloading. I haven't smoked crack and had homosexual relationships. And at 24 hours, and the whole church is like, and I kid you not, they're just like burying their head, and they're like, what is this? It's rough people coming to Jesus and getting their life transformed, and it's not us judging them when they do it. So Saul, you know his name's both, right? I mean, it got turned to Paul, so we use it the same. But Paul goes into Jerusalem, and he's like, hey, what's up? I want to hang out. Let's do Bible study. And they're like, get out of our face. We don't believe you. And we want to be patient with people. That's all I'm saying. We're going to wrap up. You guys, there's so much more. Worship team, come on up. We're going to close out in verse 27, though. But Barnabas, thank God for this guy, by the way. But Barnabas took Saul, and he brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly in Damascus in the name of Jesus. And so he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists. But they attempted to kill him. And by the way, as we're going through the book of Acts, you guys, this boy's getting beat up every single day. He's like the kid on the bus with the special backpack, and he's just getting worked by everybody that comes in contact with him. Paul suffered. He suffered a lot. And it says that, so they tried to kill him again. In verse 30, then the brethren found out, and they brought him down to Caesarea, and they sent Saul out to Tarsus. Tarsus. I almost said Tarshish, but that was Jonah. And so Barnabas, he steps up, and somehow Barnabas, you guys, had street cred, like street cred, Christian cred with the group in Jerusalem. Whatever Barnabas said, they kind of like were okay with it. And you got to remember, I mean, again, it's like Hitler coming into a room of Jews. It's going to be a surprise. And by the way, they don't have texting, Instagram, email. You know, Barnabas couldn't send over a message. Hey, guys, you know, prepare yourself. 15 minutes. I'm going to rock your world. I'm bringing somebody over and you're going to trip out. I ain't saying who, but you're going to trip. He shows up and they open the door. Boof. And look who's standing there. The killer Christians. And I'm sure they're trying to look for the back door, but there is none. And the first thought might be, Barnabas, you fool, what are you doing bringing that guy in here? But Barnabas stepped up and he backed up Paul. And his name has an interesting meaning. Do you know what it is? Son of encouragement. What a cool name. Because we've been called son of a lot of things, but maybe not always encouragement. And it's so easy to be critical, isn't it? It's so easy to be a critical person. And if you're if you want to know if you're a critical person, on the way home, ask your spouse. Just ask him, do I complain more or do I encourage? And you guys, one of the things that marks us as Christians, and I've got to work on this, I'm preaching to myself, is we need to be a people of encouragement, to lift people up. There's lots of things to get nasty at each other about. And there's no end to finding fault in each other. But when you go into work on Monday, you know, you should be thinking, how can I make this place better? Because it already stinks. I can't stand this place. Sure, that's true. But what can you do to make it better? Because when you do, you're reflecting Jesus, and that's attractive. And so as we close, would you guys stand with me? There's just two things I want to close with today. One, be an encourager. Be an encourager. Ask somebody. I'm challenging you. Ask somebody that knows you on your way home or when you get home. Do I complain or do I encourage? Do it. And if they're scared of you, they'll probably tell you you're the most encouraging person in the world. But you need to ask that question, Lord, am I encouraging those around me and you? And second, you might be in that desert place like Paul. And again, I want to encourage you. You're there for a reason. If you're there, if you're alone right now, if you're really having a hard time, this is the, you know, Jesus is in that moment. And I can tell you this, that if you run to the Lord in this time instead of the booze, the dope, the shopping, the whatever, the gaming, whatever it takes for you to just not feel anything anymore, if you would just take that moment and instead get with Jesus, you're going to come out of that place stronger than you went in, and I give you my word on that. And so, Edward, would you come on up? We're going to take communion this morning. Let me pray for you guys, and we're going to get out of here this morning. Thank you guys for showing up. Boy, it was such a tough morning to get here, but you guys did it. You're the faithful ones. And when the other ones get here, we'll rub it in their face, okay? In love, because we want to be like Barnabas. So, Father, just pray that your spirit would come and rest on us today, Lord, as we close out the service. Rest on us, Lord. Fill us up, Father. I pray over my brothers and sisters in this house today that are in that desert place. Lord, that as they spend that time with you, Jesus, instead of despise it, if they would just give it some time there in that place with you. We want out of that time, Lord. We don't like the desert. Nothing seems to be good there but you. Lord, I pray that we leave today and we start just really plugging in. No more games, no more playing around. But just surrendering our life to you and say, Lord, we love you. We thank you for your death on the cross. Thank you for the resurrection that validates you being the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. You took our sins away. We're cleansed here today because of what you've done. And we're justified as we've never sinned a day, Lord, because of what you've done. And it's that way forever. Some of us may have had a good week where we haven't messed up a lot. But you're covering the next week and the next week after that too for when we do. And we're so thankful for you, Lord. Rest on us, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit. I pray that we be a church that goes out into our community. We start bringing people into the house of God, sharing the word, praying for people, being encouragers, Lord. All because of what you've done, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.